We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Meanwhile, we have lots of questions for Tommy Curran. He joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. He's brought to you by Drains by James. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. What's going on this week, Tom E. Curran?
Lots going on. Lots going on. We're 6 days out from the NFL draft. There's playoff hockey and basketball beginning, and so the Sox are still coming along.
So, yeah. I mean, that's a glass half full with the Red Sox, even for me, and I'm fully on the bandwagon. When it comes to the draft approaching, it is, by the way, Tom, in case you were keeping score at home, 6 days, 4 hours, 28 minutes, and 50 seconds, 49 seconds, 48 seconds away. The Patriots will be on the clock shortly after that. Thank you, Ryan. So, I'm a little nervous now that Washington is leaning on Drake May and moving away from Jaden Daniels. What do you think the Patriots are doing at number three based on some of the latest reports that Washington could be unsure of what they're doing at two?
I think they'll be happy as clams with whichever guy comes to them, whether it be Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I truly do.
Okay, but they must have a preference, right?
I don't know. I honestly don't. I think, again, I asked Elliot Wolf this yesterday, would you look at any of these players as ones that you're settling for? So to me, if you have two highly capable players, you're going to fashion and tailor everything you do to that player's skills. But I think if both the players have particular skills that you can work with, you're happy either way. So to me, if you have a preference that is so profound that you're kicking rocks if you don't get that player, then you have to think about moving down. But I don't think that absolutely exists by any stretch of the imagination. I think that they can definitely – look, who do you think is a better quarterback today? Jaden Daniels is a better quarterback today. J.J. McCarthy is probably a better quarterback today. It's all the upside of Drake May. So when you look at that, you're projecting. So if the Patriots are mad because they get a player who's better than Drake May is, as we stand here and the Commanders have taken Drake May, I don't know how you could be dissatisfied.
Tom, there's been a report that's out there that there's kind of a split in the front office about what quarterback or what to do with that number three pick. Do you get any kind of sense of who? I know Elliot Wolf has told us that at the end of the day, it's him who's making the decision. He said that months ago. But do you get any kind of sense of like what the prevailing preference is between May, Daniels, and trading back?
What seems to be the case, and again, I haven't gotten a sense of that, and while there might be a split, I don't think that there is any rancor or schism or anything else you'd want to call it. There might be divergent opinions, but ones that can certainly be bridged. Again, as I'm saying, all three, including McCarthy, are players that they feel would feel good about, I believe. They don't have to worry about all three. They're only going to have to worry about two. But the perception I got in Albert Breer conversations and then Felger last night on BST was kind of saying that his understanding is that Mayo and Wolf seem to be more on the side of McCarthy, while Van Pelt and McAdoo seem to be more on the side of Drake May. I don't know that to be the case. I've had conversations this week that didn't indicate to me a massive McCarthy upswell. I know that he interviewed extremely well, and he is a magnetic personality, and that was one of the big takeaways from his meeting. But, you know, their misgiving on him is the same as it is around with every team in the league. You just don't have the production. I mean, I think it was Dan Orlovsky who might have said it. From 20 to 20, he's outstanding. They get inside the 20, and they're just playing Michigan football. I actually don't think that was Orlovsky, but you don't get to see him work in the red zone. So it's sight unseen on some aspects of J.J. McCarthy, but I don't think that there is going to be a situation where it's standing there at 20 paces having a duel to figure out who they're going to take or they're going to trade down. I think that they'll be able to the McCord. Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. Is this a new way of doing things? Obviously, the old way was Bill Belichick sort of decided and would come down with the decision at the last moment. Now you're looking at a much more collaborative way of going about it. It seems like everybody has a voice. I wouldn't say they're all equal voices, but you also don't have, Tom, the general manager or someone with that title who can cast the deciding vote. So how is this process sort of working here as we're 6 days away? Whose voices are getting more attention and who's maybe getting less?
Whatever side of the ball you're on, I think you're going to get input relative to what you want. So, for instance, Van Pelt, McAdoo, McCartney on the offensive side, when it comes to quarterbacks, McCartney being the quarterbacks coach, they would have a larger say, but I think the final say will rest. And then, of course, you could have the scouting people who are involved. What they saw, what they found, they can provide information as to what did the team think about? What did the equipment manager think of him? What is his personality like? How does he deal with adversity? So all those things, everybody's going to have evidence to bring to the table. And I think in the end, you'll have conversations about it. How does it work? I don't know how well it will it work. I think we would find out, hopefully, after the draft as we start to poke around. But I don't think that they – I think the most important thing to understand is, again, not to be – you know, jingoistic about it or overly optimistic about it. There's three players that they like at three, whichever one they take or are left taking. I don't think the big story is going to be they just took a player they don't want.
Fair enough. It's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us here each and every week on Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI. We talked to you a few weeks back. You brought up the name A.J. Brown. You said, hey, I'm just speculating. I haven't heard anything. I'm looking at his situation. I'm connecting dots. It turns out A.J. Brown is creating a stir on social media. Your colleague, Burt Breer, said last night the Patriots have inquired. Philadelphia is shutting everything down. What's your understanding of the Patriots, their interest level in A.J. Brown?
They are very interested, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, in making a trade. They didn't get Calvin Ridley. They're well aware of, you know, the $25 million hole that they were prepared to spend at wide receiver, or $22 million, as the case might have been. And they didn't get somebody. So what's the next place down? You have to look to try and figure out if you can find somebody and extract them from another team. A.J. Brown is actually, to me, not only a better player than Calvin Ridley or Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins, he's also more cost-effective in that you have three more years left on his contract. And again, we talked about this. He's a guy who, in 2019, when the Patriots didn't draft him, and that was a lifetime ago for this franchise, but he was in tears when the Patriots didn't draft him. He was convinced he was coming here, wanted to come here. So I think it's interesting to continue to monitor, but also when you look at the fact in that Seth Wickersham, Don Van Natta article this week, that the Eagles spent a fair amount of time actually spitballing what Bill Belichick's head coaching tenure would look like in Philadelphia. I think there's probably fences to be mended with the head coach, Nick Sirianni, and the front office, or at least you don't want to look like you're setting your guy up to fail. Oh, yeah, Nick, not only were we talking to Bill Belichick, we just traded A.J. Brown to the team he was with. Good luck this year.
I'm Tom, and I'm sorry to interrupt. You don't think A.J. Brown would want a new contract? Isn't that why he's squawking in Philly?
I don't think he likes it in Philly. He's got 3 years left on it. That would be an aggressive move.
Tom, what'd you make of Elliott Wolff's press conference, and what did you make of the comments that he had about, hey, we're not drafting from a place of need. Look what we did in free agency, especially on offense.
I hated to say that actually stood out to me more than any quarterback or trade down conversation. Because if Elliott Wolff truly thinks that the Patriots are a team that does not have to draft for need, or that the conversation about trading down and building the roster around the quarterback and having assets at other positions, he insinuated the conversation about this team not being ready to support a quarterback was beyond his capability of comprehending, then he needs to take a long, objective look at his roster, which was in possession of the worst offense in football. Yeah, the Carolina Panthers scored by a fractional amount less than the Patriots, but at least they had a first-round quarterback they were dealing with in his first year. The Patriots are still looking for that. They have to fill that spot. They have the worst offense in football. Yet with a straight face, Elliott Wolff made the comment that they don't have to draft for need. Yes, you do. You have to draft a tackle. I don't care how good a core of four might project to be. Riley Reiff and Calvin Anderson probably projected pretty good last year. Juju Smith-Schuster should not be included right now based on last year as a guy that you're excited about. They didn't do really anything on offense. They swapped out Ezekiel Elliott for Antonio Gibson. And that, to me, makes Elliott Wolf a little suspect in my eyes. He has a lot more to prove after that press conference to me, because if he was a part of the front office making the decisions, and it wasn't all on Bill to move on from Jacoby Myers and bring in Juju, or to push away from the table the year before on DeAndre Hopkins and say, too rich for our blood, and he ends up playing for an incredibly reasonable contract at Tennessee and having a 1,000-yard season. If he was the guy who was deciding on Riley Reiff and Calvin Anderson, then that's a problem. Don't defend that roster. Say there's plenty of work to do. I'm not asking them to assail the guys who are on the team, but that's a pee on your leg and tell, you know, pee on my leg, tell me it's raining situation right there. And I thought that that was offensive to anybody's sensibilities who's been watching the team, to say we don't have to draft for need. Well, then who does in the NFL if the Patriots don't?
Good point. Tom, before we let you go here, you mentioned the Van Natta Wickersham story about Kraft and Belichick and the job hunt and all of that. How was the impact of that over at Foxborough, and has there been any fallout from it? We know Stacey James denied it, but I mean, behind the scenes, how's that landing?
They're just pissed because, you know, Robert, I think their belief was, from folks who actually were in the room when Robert was talking to Arthur Blank, was, is this the Bill Belichick that we know and love that you're talking about? Because you are over the top praiseworthy here of Bill. And then to have it come out that he backstabbed Bill was, they thought that Robert was exceedingly praising of Bill. So to me, I think the fallout is just, all right, it's the third in a long line of stories that have come from ESPN, which is soon going to employ Bill, that make the Kraft look like nitwits and make Bill look like a poorly persecuted guy. So I think that that's the fallout in Foxborough. I kind of thought that the bigger hook to that was, and I understand you have to tether it to something, and tethering it to Robert Kraft submarining the opportunity is more sexy, but the fact that nobody in Atlanta had him in their top three is kind of eye-opening.
Yeah. Stacey didn't exactly deny it, though, right? I mean, he outright denied on that call what happened, but he didn't deny that Kraft had done some bad-mouthing of Bill in the past, right? That wasn't shut down.
Well, I mean, if you're on the dynasty, you get all the bad mouthing of Bill you could possibly want.
Well, that's why I find it very plausible he was ripping Bill.
Say that again?
That's why I find it plausible he was ripping Bill. He did it on camera.
Or telling the truth to somebody who was speaking as a friend and asking for a recommendation and a referral. I mean, I just don't understand why a guy who just went 4-13 was within 15 games of setting the wins record, and the Patriots had to go through a painful divorce with the guy and take a lot of backlash and accelerate their succession plan. I don't think that Arthur Blank would have sat there on the phone and said, we sure do wish we had him. Do you think he'd buy that?
No, I mean, look, I was would not
tell the truth.
I wouldn't have hired Bill, but I find it interesting, that conversation, at least as that was framed at ESPN. It's a fair point. I mean, Bill popped up later that day on the McAfee show. We talked about this earlier in the week. He's going to be working with Omaha Productions, which works closely with ESPN as well. He's Tommy Curran. You can check out his work, NBC Sports Boston, Patriots Talk Podcast, Quick Slants, and every week here on WEEI, Tuesdays with Gresham Fourier, and here on Jones and Mego. We appreciate the time, Tom. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, you
Thanks,
too.
Tom.
Thank
Tommy
you, Tom.
Curran, as all our guests, joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. We'll continue with your feedback coming up. Somebody suggested on the text line, by the way, 37937. We should hear Mac doing the My Pony remix, not to put more on Ryan's plate.
I would say we don't need to hear that. Nobody ever needs to hear that.
Make the song even sexier.
Even Sophie's like, I don't need to hear that. Meanwhile, we'll get back into your feedback. We'll also
You're
get
horny,
into...
let's do it right at My Pony. I was right.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
That's all you need to hear. We'll get to the Bruins. Do they have a plan yet in net? Let's get to that.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.